Exactly.
All right. Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee-deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Maria.
And I'm Carol, and this is Season 5, Episode 5 of Sticky Pickles, Come Again, and the Return of Petrov. Good titles. Yours sounds a bit dirty, though, Maria.
Come again? I'm going to disappoint everybody and tell them it is not a dirty story.
Oh.
So, Turtle, you can listen to this one.
All right, Maria, without further ado, what is your sticky pickle? Come again?
Ooh, sticky tickles.
TM.
Yeah, sticky tickles is going to be our after dark version.
Yeah, we've got to buy that fucking URL now.
Oh, my God. Got to run and go do that now. So the hero of my story, her name is Aniki. And she
Sorry, come again?
Aniki. Or maybe it's Aniki. A-N-N-I-K-K-I. Aniki?
Aniki. Okay, Aniki.
Aniki.
I'm going to say Aniki.
Aniki. Aniki.
Yeah.
Aniki.
It's more
it's
fun.
Aniki.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Aniki. And she is a starting out professional. She's not on her first job out of university, but she's trying to climb her way up the professional ladder. Mm. And she has decided it's time to interview for a new job. Now, for the past 5, 6, 7 years, she's been working like whatever she could get, kind of administrative roles, and she's been very, very bored. And her parents have been on her case because none of her work uses her amazing, you know, college education. And she thinks, all right, it's time to do a pivot. I'm going to do a professional pivot and just do something that my parents would never have expected, that I never would have expected.
Right. So basically, she has a uni degree. She's doing an admin job. She finds it boring as heck, and she's going to pivot completely. Okay, I'm with you.
So Aniki, her first language is not English. It is actually Finnish. And she decides to apply for a job that requires Finnish language skills.
Okay.
And it's basically like a very technical job, and you have to give technical presentations to clients in Finnish. She has to go to Finland, would be part of the job anyway. And like you can't just be like moderately familiar with the language. You have to be absolutely fluent and also very capable of translating highly technical things. And she's like, I got this. It's my native language. It's like what I spoke at home. I spent some time in Finland as a kid. You know, we spoke it at home. I can read and write in it. I'm good.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Yes. So her parents are like, oh, come on. We sent you to a university. You know, you've got like a math major. What does this have to do with any of that? You know, why would you fall back on the language that we spoke at home? That just doesn't make any sense. And she's like, listen, I got this. I'm going to blow you away. So the company that she's interviewing at is actually quite a small company. And when she gets into the lobby, she realizes, looking at
the
photos on the wall.
No.
No. This is not your story. It's my story. She looks at all the photos on the wall on the lobby, and they kind of look like family photos. Like, they're not just people doing professional things. It's like Christmas pictures. Everybody's wearing their fun sweaters and somehow look kind of similar. And she's like, oh, this is a family. This is literally a family company. It's owned by the dad, and he employs a number of his kids at this company.
Right. So, okay. Yeah, so it's like a family firm, family-run firm.
It's a family firm. Yeah, she didn't know that when she applied. Like, they didn't mention it, but she's like, okay, you know, they're not the first place to do something like this, and, you know, they need a Finnish speaker, and I imagine they probably don't have one in the family, so that's why they're hiring somebody outside of the fam. So
yeah, I would be in, honestly. I think that would be a plus for me in a job spec. If it was a family-run firm, I think I would like that more. I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting because I feel the opposite.
Isn't that interesting? Carry on with your story. Okay.
Yeah, I feel exactly the opposite. I would probably run out of there if I was her. But she feels more like you, and she's like, I don't see anything wrong with this, so I'll just go for it. So she is invited into the interview room, and there's another woman about her age who is the interviewer. And judging by her last name, she's like, oh, she's probably a daughter or a daughter-in-law of the person who owns the company. So she's part of the family clan.
Yeah.
And her job is to suss out whether or not Aniki, Kaneki can actually speak Finnish. So now, listeners, I don't want to surprise anyone. I don't speak any Finnish at all. I'm very sorry.
Oh, well, Jesus, Maria.
I'm going to recreate the interview, but I'm going to have to sadly do it in English. So please forgive me. So Aniki starts to introduce herself, give her professional background. And the interviewer, her questions sounded a little bit like this. So tell about school.
Mm-hmm.
More information. That thing.
It's broken Finnish.
It's broken Finnish. And Aniki's not blinking at all. She's like, maybe I'm being tested. Like, she needs me to demonstrate that I'm fluent in this language. But she's having it's really awkward for Aniki because she's like, I can barely understand anything. She's like, I'm getting the gist of what she's asking me, but her accent's completely wrong. She can't build a coherent sentence. The conjugations of the verbs are just straight up wrong. And same with the pronunciation. Like, it's a mess. It's basically like if somebody had never spoken a lick of Finnish in their life, went to Google Translate, and then phonetically tried to read off of the screen.
If you were convinced of that, though, surely you would then just go and list off what you've eaten for Christmas dinner in Finnish, very fluently, very quickly, and flourishly to impress them, because you're assuming they can't understand a word, right?
See, that's very clever.
Or stupid, because maybe they record it and then show it to a real Finnish person. I don't know.
Yeah. See, this is the thing. Aniki is kind of like, does this person not speak Finnish? Is this person testing me? I'm also nervous as hell because this is a reach for me. Like, I've never done a job like this. She's still in her 20s and she's like, this is kind of new. So she doesn't know. Maybe this is a hostile interview environment. That's a thing that's known to happen sometimes. So she's like, I'm just going to give this a good faith effort. And yeah, maybe they're recording it and going to show it to a fluent speaker later. And this is still some kind of test. But she does notice that her interviewer takes no notes whatsoever. And she's pretty sure that the person she's speaking to is the only person who's going to be making a determination about her Finnish language skills. So Aniki leaves the interview confused. But, you know, she knows she nailed it because she's fluent in this language and she can totally do this job. You know, thank you for interviewing me. I look forward to hearing from you. Here's my contact information. You know, all the best. And a week passes. Okay. Nothing in her inbox, no phone call. A month passes. Nothing. And she calls up the front desk and like, oh, they're still deliberating. We'll get back to you. Don't worry. Well, I promise we'll be in touch. We always let our interviewees know yes or no either way. So that's a month. A month has passed. 2 months pass. Still nothing. She's emailing and calling. No response to anything now. 3 months pass. Still nothing. And she gets the receptionist again at the company. Oh, I promise you they're still working on it. Just things are a little slow. You know, we're a small company, but I promise we'll get back to you.
Okay. I'm just thinking this has got to be like typical, no? Like, I don't know. When I applied for jobs all the time, there'd be like loads of them that never would get back to you at all and would just be weird. But I don't know. Okay, but she's really wanting this gig, I guess.
She really wants this gig, and I would agree with you if they were just ghosting her, they would be like, okay, you didn't get it. But she's being told repeatedly that they are going to get back to her. They just haven't made a determination. But a few days later, after the third month passes, an email arrives in Aniki's inbox.
Okay,
Aniki's.
Finally,
finally, Aniki. I'm so sorry, Aniki. She gets an email, and it says,
I hope it says Aniki, Aniki, Aniki.
Thank you so much for taking the time to come in to meet with us some time ago. I regret to inform you that we've decided to pass on your candidacy. The reason being, we feel that you would not be successful here because your knowledge of the Finnish language is poor and insufficient for the job and not up to our standards.
Okay, what? Okay, rewind. So she's going, I'm totally fluent. You're the one who had the drama, not me. You're the one. What the fuck?
What would you do, Carol? This is my question. What would you do in this situation? And let me just be clear. Aniki absolutely does speak fluent Finnish. Like, no question there. So I'm not doing a switcheroo. Like, she absolutely is fluent. She can totally do this.
I'm old school. I'm old school. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a expected punch in the face from someone that you try and get a job at, right? Like, I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that it's a family run business. I don't think I wouldn't go into any of that. I would just think idiots go somewhere else. because I wouldn't be in, I'd be invested into having a finished job, but not working at that particular company. Right.
Okay.
Like, what are you going to do? Take him to court for not hiring you? Like,
that's true. Like that would, like, and then that working there would suck, right?
And working there would suck. And they're obviously ridiculous. 3 months getting back to you. Like, next.
Being in her shoes, though, there aren't a whole lot of jobs that use the where she lives. There aren't a whole lot of jobs that use the Finnish language where she could get hired doing that. You know, I think I'm the same as you. I would just be like, well, clearly they suck and they're incompetent. I would just move on.
Yeah, because people do. People do suck.
Yes.
Like, not everyone is a dude.
That's
right?
True.
People suck.
She's a little more principled than we are, though. Maybe not practical, but principled. And maybe poorly principled. And her feeling is hurt and confusion. She's very confused. And she's like, this isn't right. So she goes on Glassdoor or whatever local version you have in the country that you live in, which is a place where you will leave feedback about a company. Usually it's if you've already worked there, but I believe you can also, if you've interviewed somewhere, say like, here's my experience interviewing at
yeah.
this company.
You can do a little poop of your experiences on yeah.
Yeah, and everybody yeah. knows, I'm pretty sure everybody knows at these sites, the only people who tend to leave feedback are employees who are being highly incentivized by their boss to leave a glowing review, or people who are pissed off and want to burn it all down. There's almost no in between of like, yeah, this place is okay.
Great business model.
Well, yeah,
yeah.
And extorting companies to do that. It's actually pretty brilliant. So she leaves some feedback on these sites about her interview experience.
Of course she does. Of course she does. Going this, and I don't blame her. She's just going, I went for this job interview. They could hardly speak Finnish.
They could hardly speak the language. Finnish. I'm fluent. And the person interviewing mm-hmm. me very obviously did not know more than, you know, three basic words. And then they went around and said that I couldn't speak the language. And that was the reason for refusing me a job.
Mm-hmm.
Unbeknownst to her, that piece of feedback makes the rounds at the company she interviewed at. And a week after she posts it, she gets a call from the CEO saying,
oh my God, saying, trembling.
Thank you for leaving that feedback. We opened an internal investigation into my daughter-in-law to determine her fluency in Finnish and found out that you were totally right. She's been laid off.
What? No, he didn't know that his daughter-in-law had poor Finnish.
Correct. She had a poor Finnish.
Wow.
Ew, but
close family. Okay, this is good.
Well, remember, she's not the daughter. She's the daughter-in-law. So
yeah, yeah.
So Aniki is like, oh, wow. And the CEO was very grateful for sharing that information because, yes, it's a family business, but business also is important and we have to be competent. And I would really appreciate it if you would give us another shot. And come in and speak with us about maybe coming in for
okay.
the role. And Aniki at first is like, yeah, I'd like to do that. She hangs up the phone. She's feeling good. Suddenly that night she logs onto Facebook and there are so many new messages in her inbox from people she doesn't recognize. And these are apparently friends and the husband of the lady who got laid off. And they're all saying she's a total asshole and that was her only source of income and they're struggling. And now Aniki doesn't know if it's even worth her going into this company anymore because apparently a lot of people there hate her guts.
This is so fucking ridiculous. Oh my God. This is like, I feel like I've been brought into a maze of ridiculousness and now it's
Bro,
like,
that's
and now
how
it's
I
turned
feel
to goo.
Whenever I do your stories.
Yeah, just wait.
Oh,
just
no.
wait.
So, okay what?
Okay, so what's my, what? Okay, what? Okay, give me my sitch.
Your situation is the CEO genuinely wants you to come in and work. He's grateful that you sussed out that there was an imposter in his midst because he wants his business to be well reputed. However, his lowerlings, his son and a few of the daughter-in-law's friends hate Aniki's guts and they're probably going to make life miserable for her at this company. So she's got the
okay.
blessing of the CEO, but that's probably not who she's going to be working with every day. Does she still go in and take this job?
Okay. 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 I'm thinking laterally here. Okay. Option one, option one. This is the time, right? You go meet with the CEO guy and go, yeah, yeah, I would love to work here. Do the whole thing. But then you do a watertight contract with them. Whereas if they fire you in the next year or you have to leave because of unpleasant working circumstances, you get a humongo dish out. And then you just prepare to suffer if it all goes shit. Mm-hmm. But if it doesn't, you're still prepped. But you take advantage of the, you know, that they want some good feedback.
Okay. Yep.
Is that, I don't know, it feels very calculating.
Savvy.
Or you run the fuck away, right? If you're not in for any of that bullshit, just run.
Yeah. If she's made of Teflon and she's like, yeah, I can handle a bunch of bullies, like maybe.
And if you speak Finnish, you can learn any language. That is a hard language, right? So you can learn anything. So go learn any other language and, you know, save the world that way.
Yeah. And she could also swear at them in Finnish and they would be none the wiser. And I bet it would sound amazing.
Yeah. You have to just do it in this kind of voice. Like, I love you.
Yeah. But you're a bunch of fun. All right, Carol, your sticky pickle is the return of Petrov. Tell me about Petrov.
Yeah, we're going to race through this, okay? There's a few little details we got to get laid down.
Okay, I'm going to get my beer. All right.
Yeah. It's all right. Joke, here's yeah. Here's my beer. It's 10 a.m. Good. That's podcast life. Okay. So Yolanda has been a little bit miffed with her close friend Petrov for the last year or so. Okay.
Yolanda and Petrov. Okay.
Yeah. Right, buddies.
Okay.
Right, but for the last year, Yolanda is not that impressed. And, like, she recognizes, she'll tell anybody, that he'd gone through a lot since 2020. During that time, he lost his job. Yeah. He even had a cancer scare. Aww. He broke up with his girlfriend. Like, a trifecta of shite.
And that's not, like, a minor trifecta. That is
no
legitimately awful. Cancer
that's like
scare.
Sci-fi size.
That's sci-fi size. We're expecting an asteroid to just come out of space and just hit his house alone.
So the background is these two have been friends since uni.
Mm.
And Petrov lives like now 1,000 miles away. So it's not like she could be there physically to deal with all these issues that he went through.
Yeah.
But Yolanda reached out regularly to check in, even though she has a demanding boss. It's like, so she works in like a book publishing house, right? Mm. Mid-ranking. She has an asshole boss, gobbles up all her time, but doesn't matter.
She makes time
for Petrov.
Yeah, she makes the time. Yep.
Yeah. And Petrov doesn't ghost her, but he kind of stonewalls.
Oh.
So she'd be like, hey, how you doing? I'm fine. And maybe it's just because maybe he's depressed. He doesn't want to share. Who knows? Any reasons. But
pride.
All their conversations go along with, I'm fine. Yeah, yeah. Everything's cool. No, it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm busy with this and that.
Maybe he doesn't want to like burden her and be like, blah, here are all my problems. Because the answer is he's clearly not fine, right?
Sure. But she's feeling a bit awkward calling all the time to have these freaking like drone-like conversations. Like he never asks anything about her, you know, and he doesn't reveal anything from his own life. So she's just going, what the hell? And that's why she's miffed.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Understandably.
Exactly. But this all changed 5 minutes ago because Petrov has just called and fell on his sword on the phone. He was just like, oh my God, I've been so sorry. I've been so consumed with this secret project. Yes, I was grieving and all that stuff, but I'm back and I want to see you. And look, can I meet you in your town? I will fly there, take you to dinner, my treat.
Wow. All right.
So what do you do? Okay, step one.
Oh, I totally do? I'm a sucker. I would be like, yeah.
I'm a sucker too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was raised in a very religious-ish household. I'm all about the prodigal son. I will slaughter that fatted calf. I don't care how many years it's been. That got really biblical for a second. But
I was just like, whoa.
No, sorry. That's how I was raised. And I'm totally not that way now. But I still have that principle of like, no matter what, no matter when a person comes around, I will be like, yes, red carpet, rolling it out for you. No matter what. So, and that makes me a doormat. but I'll do it.
I don't know if it does. I don't know if it does because Yolanda agrees with you. She's just like, I've missed my friend.
Yeah.
He's made all the right noises. He's finally acknowledged what's been going on. So they make a date, yada, yada, yada. Fast forward a few weeks, right? She finishes up work and heads out to the taco bar where they always meet when he's in town.
Oh, tacos.
Yeah, he's already there. He looks great. He's even glowing, right? And his arms are wide. And he says, Londi, I've missed you. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And so it goes, right?
Oh, okay.
They stuff their faces. They catch up. He's like, he's really hyper. He's asking loads of questions.
Oh,
right?
He got ADHD medication.
See, an angle I forgot. But, you know, he boos any bad stuff. Yay's good. But everything's all bubbly and effervescent. And after a while, Yolanda realizes that he's been deflecting her questions. Because she's been kind of going, where have you been? Like, where have you been?
Yeah.
Anyway, dinner's finished. They're sitting there jolly, probably like swirling churros, right? And some
churros.
Congealing chocolate sauce or something.
Oh, love, 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 love. Oh.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, God, is it dinner? Churros.
And so she finally says, look, what's been keeping you so busy? So he says, okay, fine, it's time. Yolanda, you ready? I have been writing a book, he says, and it's going to shake the world. I'm not kidding. And he leans over and he pulls out of his bag this ginormous manuscript. Okay. 1,000 pages at least big. Massive.
Uh-huh.
And he says, I'm dying for you to read it. And you know, your little publishing house could get first dibs if the deal's right. And he winks.
No.
Right?
No.
I was just going to say, pause. How do you feel right
now? No, this is okay. I think anybody who works in an industry like publishing or there's so many different industries where it's like, if you work in it, this is like one of your worst nightmares is when your friends start asking for like internal favors like this.
Mm.
Like, hey, could you send my manuscript along? You work in film and TV. Could you read my screenplay? Like that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Because chances are your friend got that job either through nepotism. So get your own parents or
see,
or the hard
I'm looking
way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm really looking to be friends with someone who owns a massive scanner for my paintings. Right?
Oh, you need somebody who's got a drum scanner?
Yes.
Same.
So I'm like, every time I meet an architect, I'm like, oh, hey.
Can I borrow your several $1,000 drum scanner like in the evening?
Or can I just
hours?
Come over at lunchtime and just, you know,
I'll make
use
you some
it?
Spatchcock chicken.
Exactly. In a lunchbox.
Listen, that actually is a trade, though. That's a trade. And that's just bartering, and I think that's legit. Like, if you cook for somebody...
He's buying her dinner.
It's not quite the same. Like, you using a drum scanner. I'm just going to go with this. That's you still doing the work. You're not asking your buddy, your new friend, to scan it for you. Right?
Right.
You're like, I will cook you a meal. And it'll be fucking amazing because I made it. If I could just borrow this piece of equipment that y'all are not using when the office is closed, and it'll take you like an hour of work. And then, like, you know, you do all the work, minimal disruption to them. Different story of like, here's my fucking 1,000-page wankery manuscript.
How do you know it's wankery?
Oh, come
it could
on.
Be amazing. He is glowing.
Is he David Foster Wallace? Why is it a
How,
thousand
he
pages?
He could be the next one.
Doubt it. So.
Okay. Well, we're going to find out before the end of the story. I'm telling you.
Chances are he is not. Chances are he wrote that on a Ritalin-fueled peak of activity and it makes no sense. And what he's asking her to do is to put herself in a risky position professionally and then like tell her colleagues to spend precious time reading this thing. Don't do that. Don't do that.
He's your friend.
No.
Okay.
Get an agent like everybody else.
So, well, yeah, okay. So you know what she says? She says, wow, because she's looking at the freaking 1,000 pages as well. And she works in publishing. She used to read this shit schlock all the time.
And it's written in like size 8 font.
Right. So she's like, wow, can you give me like an idea of what it's about in a nutshell? And he says, well, look, okay.
You know those books, he leans right in on the table. You know those books that our parents grew up on when they were kids? Jack and Jill, you know, they went up a hill, all that. Well, I got inspired, he says. And I...
No. My soul just melted into my shoes. Like,
I decided to flesh out the characters, he says. Ulysses Stiley.
James Joyce, Ulysses Stiley.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's always an enticement when someone's like, I'm channeling my inner James Joyce Ulysses. Yeah, one of the most unreadable books ever. Definitely want to do that again.
So you land a, you know, wide-eyed ghost, like what? So every step up the hill, you know, you, and he laughs, Petrov laughs. He goes, no, silly, like into adulthood.
There's sex and violence with Jack and Jill.
Yes, I have them face many instances that are emotionally complex. And then I record their thoughts. So.
He wrote Jack and Jill fan fiction. He wrote fan fiction. Okay. And he wants his friend to publish his fanfic.
He says, you know, love, loss, demons, angels, incest.
Lots of sex. Yeah, of course there's sex. And it's way more detailed
incest,
than it needs to be.
Incest.
Oh, yes.
Incest.
And it's more detailed than it needs to be. Yes. You just
and
know.
And Yolanda's like, whoa, incest? Not between Jack and Jill. And he's like, exactly. You see, now you're hooked. You're hooked. And that's, you're going to find out exactly how it happens when you read it. Now, how long do you think it will take you to get through this?
Oh, that's so presumptive.
And he gets up gesturing to the loo and he goes, I know it's a tome. Call me Dickens.
That's so presumptive. How long will it take you to read this? No.
Okay, but you're at the table on your own with the tome in your lap.
I'm not reading that. I'm not reading all
do
that.
You flick? Are you going to flick through right now?
No.
Just as...
No.
Are you not?
No.
You don't want to have a little sneaky peek while he's not looking?
Let me guess. The title, you opened to the opening page. It was the best of times. It was the blurst of times. You know, it was something stupid like that. And then you skip to the end page and it's like, and then they walk hand in hand into the sunset. Neither of them thinking about anything but each other and how far they had come.
You're not far off, Maria.
Yeah. Gee.
She just kind of dived in halfway, rando page, right? Mm-hmm. Rando paragraph. Do you want me to read a bit? Do you want me to read the opening
please,
bit?
Please, please, regale me.
Okay, yeah. You ready? Mm. I'm going to try and get through this without crying.
No.
Jill, who was busy flossing while simultaneously masturbating.
All right. Okay, she was jilling off, in fact.
Wondered when Jack would realize that the reason she's not speaking to him is that he's not yet taken out the garbage, which was obviously full. Had they argued about this 100 times already this week? Yes. Booze, booze, booze went the vibrator as the dog sighed in the corner.
It really paints a picture. Curl, can I just tell you something? Like, just confession yes. Time. You've triggered me massively with this story.
What do you mean?
So, you know how you want a friend with a drum scanner for your art?
Yes.
So I do comics, right? And part of comics is, like, you have to publish stuff and you have to take stuff to publishers and ask them to publish it for you.
Yes.
And I don't do that. I do my own publishing, but I share my stuff at shows, and I cannot tell you how much of like a universal experience it is if you've done enough of these shows where you're selling your stuff to the public that several times in an hour, for the many hours that you are sitting or standing there at a table, somebody will basically come up to you and do what this guy does, just did, of like, oh, I've written a book and I've been working on it for like 30 years and it's got like this whole universe and it's da, 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 da. And could you read it? And it's just like, it had like several times an hour for hours on end every time you do a show like this because everybody's convinced they've got this amazing thing.
So you understand Yolanda and you understand her predicament.
How much people like Yolanda hate when people do shit like this. Yes,
I understand that. But she's reading this wonderful paragraph and is interrupted by a thrilled Petrov saying, "You can't put it down, can you? Told ya." And he grabs Yolanda's shoulders and he says, as earnest as she's ever seen him, "This book saved my life and I want you to be part of the next leg in the journey." Over to you, Maria.
Okay, well, I would give him genuinely useful advice, which is, he needs to get an editor because, and he needs to try and get an agent. Like, genuinely, because they will give him advice on how to make that into something really publishable. But like manuscripts, you don't just hand an unedited manuscript to somebody and be like, publish it. That's just not how it works.
Okay. I'm like, blah, blah, blah. Will you read it?
Maybe once it's been edited.
Whoa. Okay. You're kicking Petrov to the curb there, but I don't know if that's a bad thing. He's not been a very good friend.
Yeah. It's one thing if this is like a 50 page short story, you're asking somebody to read 1,000 pages. That's a big ask.
And unless you're a speed reader, that's even for them. Yeah,
that's a huge burden to put on somebody. So it's just like, I will read this when it's gone through some professional editing first, which is something that every manuscript should get done. And then I'll be happy to read it. But until then, like I honestly can't commit to reading something like this long. I would just be honest. Like, it's just the truth.
And also, this guy has been a bit of a dick the whole time. Suddenly now comes out of the woodwork, invites you to dinner with the whole splashy splash, love you, and actually he just wanted to pitch his manuscript.
Yeah, I genuinely, if I was like, okay, he just doesn't know better, which is where I would probably be coming with this. Like, he came in really hot being like, I it's amazing, it's perfect, it's got to get published. I'd be like, okay, you need an editor and you need to try and get an agent. And there's all this stuff that's involved with that. And I would be like, if I was working in publishing, I'd be like, let me walk you through what you need to have as part of like the pitch package you need to have put together. But even then, I'd be like, you can Google it. But certainly you need to have something edited first. Like, anybody who writes or creates Curl, you edit our podcast. You need an editor. So
right.
I would be like, that's real, actually good and helpful advice to him. Like, you need an editor. Everybody does. It's not a sign of weakness. Everybody needs editing. The end.
Okay, but what if he pushes you and says, but what do you think of the Jack and Jill incest angle? Pretty fresh, right?
I would say maybe. I can't speak for Yolanda. Me personally, that's not an angle that interests me, but I'm not everybody. And that's the truth. Maybe some people will like that. I don't.
Well, thank you so much for the very reasonable explanation of my story.
Oh, should I have gone really extreme and been like, wah?
We don't have you here for that at all.
No, I mean, like, she could just be like, I hate you, this is a terrible angle, I never want to speak to you again. But like, he's exploring some shit. I'd be like, does he have something he wants to tell me about his experience? Do I even want to know?
Okay, what if he says to you, okay, I'll totally go get the editor thing, but don't think you get your cut when this thing goes wild.
I would just be happy to have my name in the acknowledgments as thank you for your help. Let's just call it fair.
What did you do? Nothing.
Gave him advice.
Okay. Okay.
I want my cut. Okay.
Well, that's it for this week's Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do, Maria.
We should get off our butts and review and maybe get an agent and an editor. No. A review would be great. Tell your friends. Also, that would be great. Recommend us to your buddies on Twitter or in the real world.
Yeah, hip bump them with Sticky Pickles.
Yeah, we would love to get some new listeners in our world. If there's something y'all would like to hear from us. You can get in touch with us on social media. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter and Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. Also, hello@stickypickles.com. You can email us. Anything else you can find on stickypickles.com.
Yay! See you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Tell your mother.
Tell your neighbors. Tell your lover.
Tell your lawyer.
Tell your doctor. Tell your dentist with the right in your mouth.